This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. We turn now to the conundrum of energy prices in New Hampshire and why ours are among the highest in the nation. The Public Utilities Commission said last week it was investigating this. And with us now to help clarify is Dave Solomon. He's a longtime reporter for the Union Leader and New Hampshire Sunday News. He covers business and energy. And Dave, thanks for taking time out. We really appreciate it.
Hi, Laura. Thanks for inviting me.
So as we talk about among the highest in the nation, how high are they?
Well, they're considerably higher in New England than everywhere else in the country. The most recent estimates from the U.S. Energy Information Administration, last winter's prices that in many are actually still in effect. The average cost for electricity in New England per kilowatt hour is 19 cents and change. And in New Hampshire, we're pretty close to the average at 19 cents, 0.15. That compares to the Mid-Atlantic states at 15 cents. And then the rest of the country is around 10 cents.
10 cents, wow, almost double.
East, south, west, south. Mountain states are 11. So other than a few outliers like the District of Columbia and California, which is at 17, we are paying without question the highest prices in the country and to a significant degree.
And again, when we say we, we're talking about the six New England states, Dave?
Yes.
Yeah. So this announcement by the PUC that it was investigating why this is the case, and wow, we're paying almost double here in New England than the rest of the country. I found that word choice, though, from the PUC interesting, Dave. Investigating, not examining, not looking into, but investigating. Usually that implies, you know, looking into some possible wrongdoing.
Well, they didn't hint at any possible wrongdoing, but they want to investigate why, in large part, the price swings have been so extreme. It's been extremely volatile, where last summer, customers of Liberty Utilities, for instance, serving a big part of the central part of New Hampshire, we were paying 7.7 cents per kilowatt hour. Over the winter, it went up to 15.4, and they Liberty announced its rate for this coming summer. It's back down to 7 cents again. This is not a sustainable pattern for residential or certainly not for economic development. The PUC wants to know what is going on in the electricity markets that we have such wild price swings, and why are the utilities not able to get a better prediction of what they need to pay to purchase their electricity wholesale for 6 months at a time? We were paying very high prices for electricity over this past winter, even though prices on the spot market were much lower than what we were paying because the utilities had locked in much higher prices based on last winter's experience, and I think the PUC wants to know why can't we judge this a little better in the interest of our consumers and businesses.
Again, the number for you to join us here in the exchange as we look in this segment at why New England's energy prices are so much higher than everywhere else and the Public Utilities Commission recent announcement that it's investigating this. Join us 1-800-892-6477. Why do you think energy prices here are so much higher? Have you yourself struggled with these wild swings that Dave Solomon talks about? Again, our number 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange at nhpr.org. Find us on Facebook or Twitter, 1-800-892-6477. So, Dave, a real technical question for you, talking about those kilowatt hour price swings, and you're right, they've gone from 7 to 15 to 19 to 20. But doesn't the PUC itself approve these rate hikes?
They do. They approve the rates based on the amount of money the utility companies have to pay for their electricity in the wholesale market, if you're a customer who chooses to buy from the utility. Some buy on the open market, on a long-term contract or on a month-by-month basis. So there's a lot of options out there for consumers. But the main cause, of course, everyone acknowledges, is the fact that natural gas is very difficult to get into New England in the winter period. Prices for electricity used to be actually lower in the winter based on supply and demand. The supply was fairly consistent up until 2012, and so demand went up in the summer due to air conditioning, and so prices went up slightly. Now we've seen that flipped, where prices are much higher for electricity in the winter because the pipeline that carries gas into New England is full with the gas needed to heat homes, and the power plants can't get their gas, and many of them shut down, and electricity gets more expensive because we're burning coal and oil. So that is the big cause.
Well, and this gets to an email that just came in. Frankie from Hooksett asks, are New Hampshire's energy prices so high because we're so dependent on natural gas? You seem to be saying yes, Dave Solomon.
That's true. They're so high because more than 50% of our electricity is now generated by natural gas power plants, and that's only going to increase as more coal and oil and nuclear plants retire, and nobody's building new oil, coal, or nuclear plants. All of their replacements are likely to be natural gas, or, of course, in many quarters, people are hopeful they will be wind and solar and renewable replacements.
But what's so confusing for, you know, your average person listening, they may think, well, I see headlines, I hear headlines all the time. America is flooded with cheap natural gas. We've become an exporter of energy. This is great. You know, we're challenging Saudi Arabia. So they hear that national headline and they think, wait a minute, why am I not seeing the benefit of this?
Well, energy prices are as low as I described earlier in many parts of the country because of the natural gas revolution, which is consisted of tapping huge reservoirs in Pennsylvania and Ohio. But if you look at the map of pipelines in the country, it's a huge mishmash of pipelines crisscrossing all over the states except for New England and into New Hampshire, where there's one little stub of a pipeline coming up through Nashua, Manchester, and Concord, and another small one in the seacoast, and that's it. So that's enough to get the natural gas we need up here during the summer when people are only using it for power plants. But in the winter, when the power plants are competing with home heating, the capacity is not adequate.
All right. Thanks for that email, Frankie. Again, the exchange number, 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange at nhpr.org, 1-800-892-6477. Dave, let's take a call. This is Linda in Newfields. Hi, Linda. You're on the exchange. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, thank you for taking my call. I have a question concerning the competitors to what is now called Eversource. I've received many, many, many letters through the mail, as I'm sure others have in New Hampshire, about changing the carrier of electricity here from PSNH to them. And in it, they're always indicating how much lower they are in kilowatt price, but then they're also saying that it will be serviced or using PSNH Eversource lines. So I don't understand how a competitor is using these same lines or same transmits of power and still able to charge less, and the rates with, I just understood the Eversource just had a rate increase. So
yeah.
I don't understand this.
Well, it's a great question, Linda. And so you're an Eversource customer right now?
Currently.
Okay. It's a fantastic question. And boy, Dave, we could talk for hours about how this works, but she's right. No matter who you buy your electricity from, chances are good it comes down Eversource's lines.
Well, that, of course, is true. The deregulation of electricity markets in the state, which has been in progress for the past 10 years or more, has many elements, but the most fundamental one is the regulated utilities like Eversource and Unitil and Liberty, which own the poles and the power lines, continue to be regulated and continue to be a monopoly because we can't have competing companies with multiple poles and power lines crisscrossing the landscape. So you have one transmission and distribution network, which is regulated, but the energy that courses through it is purchased on the wholesale market from the owners of power plants. Like as with any market, there's producers who charge wholesale prices, distributors buy at wholesale prices, and then they sell at retail prices and make a profit. The utilities that own the power lines buy electricity and sell it as well as deliver it to those customers who choose them as their default option, and they try to get the best price they can. There are competitive energy suppliers in the market now, thanks to deregulation like ENH and North American that are sending you those solicitations, and they try to undercut the default price, and the utility can't stop them from sending the electricity along their lines. It all comes from the same pool. And in fact, the utility bills you for the energy supply on the bill, and they just turn that money over to the independent supplier, if that's who you've chosen. There is also still on your bill a portion for transmission and distribution, and that money goes to the distribution utility.
It's very confusing, and I'm glad you asked the question, Linda. It's a good one. Here's an email from Margaret in Dover. She says, lots of New Hampshire residents gripe about proposed wind projects. Would more wind farms make a discernible difference in our energy prices? Margaret says, is NIMBYism our main problem? NIMBY meaning, of course, not in my backyard. Thanks, Margaret, for the email. Dave?
Well, it's widely acknowledged that it's very difficult to build new energy infrastructure in New England.
No matter what it is.
Except for maybe solar panels on rooftops, but that's never going to scale to industrial utility level. There is huge potential in wind power along the mountain ridges of New Hampshire, but there is huge opposition to putting those big wind towers, windmills up in those areas. Some projects have been halted because of it. There is opposition to virtually every energy infrastructure project now on the drawing board, from the large ones that we're very familiar with, like the Northern Pass and the Kinder Morgan natural gas pipeline, to even in the seacoast, where Public Service wants to replace an existing 13 miles of power line that are distribution lines and replace it with bigger transmission lines. This is a project that's acknowledged as necessary for reliability to keep the lights on, and yet the town of Durham is on record as being opposed and requesting that the lines be buried. So it's very difficult to even upgrade a short distance of existing line in an existing right-of-way, so you can imagine the problems associated with larger projects that are needed to solve the problem.
Well, and as we talk about this PUC, Public Utilities Commission investigation, Dave, I mean, is this something they're going to look at, or are they going to look more just at sort of spot prices, market prices, how the companies put their pricing out there?
I think they want to look at how the companies purchase their energy wholesale. Maybe it's better to buy 12-year contracts to even this out. Why were the estimates so off, and what can be done to improve the estimating? Was there any sense among the power plant owners, for instance, that, well, prices were really high last winter, and so we can probably get away with charging a lot more for the upcoming winter, even though we know some of the changes that have been made to stabilize the market might take effect? They want to know that the pricing options make more sense over the long term. But they also want to assess hopefully an objective third party, what is really needed. There's a huge debate over whether we really need a big new pipeline or whether tinkering with some of the existing pipelines, you know, digging up the narrow, smaller ones and putting in wider ones, as Eversource is proposing, is a better option. And I think there's a sense that until somebody who is not the utility proposing the project or the town that is going to go through takes a stand, people are going to be suspicious about the position being taken. So if the Public Utilities Commission completes this investigation and concludes that, yes, the new Kinder Morgan pipeline will really stabilize and bring down prices across the state, that will have a significant impact on the debate.
Let's take another call, Dave. Corrine is in Hampton. Hi, Corrine. Go ahead.
Good morning. Looking at it from the consumer standpoint, I'm wondering why the utilities do not charge an off-peak rate for 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. We used to do that in the 50s and 60s, and people could schedule their washers and dryers or whatever they could schedule it in the evening or nighttime at a lower rate.
Yeah, that's a really good question, Corrine. Thanks a lot for calling in. Dave, do you know about this?
Yeah, that's smart metering, where the meters can keep track of what time you're using the electricity and adjust the charges accordingly. That is something that's under consideration. It may be part of this investigation, but it requires a huge investment in infrastructure that itself affects rates during the process. And so I think they're very cautious about doing anything that's going to pass along additional charges at this point, even though it might have considerable benefits down the road. But I think that's coming, and over years will be standard in the utility space.
Well, here's an email from Frank in Enfield. How does New Hampshire compare to its neighbors when it comes to alternative energy sources like solar? He says, if we put as much money into solar as Massachusetts, would our prices decrease? Frank, thanks for the email.
Well, Massachusetts has a better reputation on paper for this, but they were paying $20.80 compared to our $19.75.
A little higher than New Hampshire, yeah.
So it's not moving the needle. There's just not sufficient size or scale of these type of alternatives to come anywhere near replacing the generation of the gas-fired power plants.
When this report comes out, Dave, and it's coming out in May, is that right, or the fall? When is this coming out, by the way?
They have a September deadline.
September, okay. Are there likely to be any blockbusters, or is it going to be what we all know already, that we don't have a lot of our own sources of energy, that we have a hard time getting natural gas in, that we maybe have put too many of our eggs, some say, into this natural gas basket? I mean, is there really anything new we're going to learn here?
Well, it's hard to predict. The Public Utilities Commission and regulators of that sort usually try to stay away from taking extremely controversial positions because they operate as kind of a judiciary of sorts and have to maintain at least the appearance of impartiality. But they haven't been shy in the past couple years. They've come out saying a public service, now Eversource, needs to sell its power plants to complete the process of deregulation. They are now considering the process by which they'll be sold. I think if anything controversial is likely to come out of that report, it will be them taking sides in one fashion or another on the need for a pipeline and which of the two proposals currently on the board is going to have the biggest impact on pricing in the state.
All right. Dave Solomon, thank you very much for your time. We really appreciate it.
All right. Glad to help.
That's Dave Solomon, reporter for the Union Leader and New Hampshire Sunday News. He covers business and energy. Dave's written a lot about New Hampshire's power problems. You can find his articles on our website, nhpr.org/exchange. The Exchange is a production of NHPR. The engineer is Dan Colgan. The senior producer is Ellen Grimm. Our producers are Faith Mikesell and Jason Moon. Our volunteer is Priscilla Malcolm. Our intern is Dylan Morrill. Our theme music was composed by Bob Lord, and I'm Laura Kanoy.